Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.
Good morning and welcome to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services. I'm Trent Hasten from the Roby family of companies. We are your host, Trent. It is Sunday morning, 9 to 10. We're always here on Sunday mornings from 9 to 10.
Are you sure it's Sunday?
See, now you're asking me to tell a lie. It's not really Sunday, but when this
ask you to tell a lie. I just asked you a question.
It's actually Tuesday in our world.
You're not supposed to lie, Patrick.
I agree. Only thing you should lie is a rug.
Golly. You have been reading Scarlett's joke books.
Dad jokes, man. I hear you.
I just I scurried down Wilkeson, met Reagan. I called Reagan. I said, I don't have time to go off of the corridor. She brought Ford out. We both had our first haircut in over 2 months.
I got
And now I don't have any hair. Yeah. I didn't have any hair before. I don't know who I was kidding.
You're looking tight. Looking tight.
But we got our haircuts beside each other, and Ford's barber said, how long has it been since he's had a haircut? I said, you cut his hair last. He said, man, you know how many heads I cut a day? I said, I do understand. I was like, but you did cut it last.
No, man, so, give him a break. Give him a break.
I was just talking about how long it had been since I was trying to save. I was trying to double up. Haircuts are expensive these days. Hey, if you double it up, you cutting them in half back like it used to be. Just looking shaggy for a little while.
Yeah, I think that's going to be my excuse.
My barber back in the day, Sedgefield Barbershop, old Reese Starnes,
yep.
He'd say, you can't go longer than 3 weeks now. You got to look good for these appointments. I said, man, you're just trying to hustle me.
He's trying to get you on a haircut.
Then I realized his fee was a quarter of the price of what I pay today. God bless you, Mr. Starnes.
Were you paying about $9?
No.
12.
I thought he was high. He was 15. Ooh. Made me give him a $10 tip.
Goodness gracious. Good. They don't cost 15 anymore.
Walk out of there feeling skinny.
It is a good weight loss plan.
Do you get a neck massage when you get your hair cut?
A head massage.
Really?
Yeah. But I can't. I mean, I have the same lady, Kyle, has been cutting my hair for a long time. She become a good friend. I like talking to old Kyle. She's good.
Has she taught you how to do a good head massage?
No. I guess I could take some notes.
I mean, I'm $5 for 10 minutes. that's what I'm trying to negotiate with my kids.
I was about to say, I've had some of those similar negotiations.
Piper said, I won't do it. No, I don't go below $1 a minute. Yeah. I said, you don't have any business in this house.
What is she, electrician or something? That's about to go. No, it's probably more than that. But
goodness gracious.
Yeah, we have similar negotiations in the McIsaac household. I understand.
I'm trying to teach these kids business.
Yeah.
And then I was talking to my barber, and he was talking about his son, because his son cuts hair in the same shop, Ballard's over in Belmont. Give him a little clips, old school feel to it, except you get a HELOC. That's a home equity line of credit to pay your barber bill. But his son wasn't there. His son cuts my hair some, and he's 20, 21. And I said, how's he doing? He did good. He's still playing a lot of golf. He said, I told him he needs to start saving up a little more, stop playing so much golf. But I told him, I said, The Wealthy Barber by David Chilton is a book I read when I was 18, one of my principal books. We talk often on here. My mom heard on Bob and Sherry's, one of those books, to let your kids read. And I think I have a signed copy of myself in my office.
Alrighty. But
David Chilton didn't sign it. Trent Hasten signed it.
I was trying to. I didn't know if you like misspoke there. I was speechless, which doesn't happen very often to me. I can usually gab pretty
Put it
well.
This way. I didn't tell the barber I was going to bring you my book.
I didn't know if you meant
it's got my markups in it from when I was 18.
Got it.
Maybe someday Ford will care about that.
I
don't know.
I got it. Understood. I think. Well, let's talk about the show a little bit today.
Well, did I tell you I went to Gatlinburg last weekend?
We're going to talk about you going to Gatlinburg last weekend. What's going on here today?
I'm messing with Pete.
No.
Pete Kidwell's coming on the show. You never want to talk about our guest in the 4 minute segment of the first segment.
We're at 5 minutes.
But Pete's excited. He's over here grinning. Like he just made a quarter.
Either that, or he's thinking like, "What did I just get myself into?" I feel like I would really like to know what's going through the heads of our guests after making them endure the first segment.
Okay, public listening audience, I want y'all to know, Christian McCall, our boss lady, sets it all up with Pete. Pete's a good friend of mine, and she says, "Hey, 1 o'clock, you know, to 2 o'clock."
Oh, yeah,
and
yeah, here it comes.
He sends an email and says, "Hey, what time should I be there?" I said, "Be there at 1:01, and then I'm riding, about to drop my son back off with the skee ball head. He just got scalped." And Kidwell calls me. It takes me like 30 seconds to figure out how to use my phone hands-free and all that. Then I finally get him. He says, "Man, they won't let me in here without you." I said, "It's 12:37. I think I said 1:01. He said, "I thought you were kidding."
Yeah.
I do not kid, Pete. But anyway, we got to go to Gatlinburg. We got to go to Gatlinburg.
All right.
One of my lifetime best friends, Shane Rideout, Shane Sawyer, lives down in Florida, worked his way through Maersk. Big CFO of Sealand for a while, and now he's CFO of a big old conglomerate international company. Dude's done well.
Heard you talk
best,
about it.
Best homie from high school that's done that route and done it well. And he has 5 kids, and I have 5 kids, and he rented a big old house, and we bunked house, and his brother came with 1 kid. We had 11 kids, and we had a good time. It's just wholesome fun. Gatlinburg, Tennessee.
11 kids.
You go right, you go to Gatlinburg, you go left, you go to Pigeon Forge. Which one you want? You want go-karts or axes? Chair lifts or margaritas? Nah, I'm kidding.
You all amped up today.
I'm excited.
I know you are. I love it.
Pete Kidwell with Beacon Partners, when we return, going to drop some real estate and some OG knowledge on us. Thanks for listening to At Home with Roby.
Welcome back, At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services on Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. Lots of energy. If you missed the first segment, go back, podcast it. You can look it up on Facebook, LinkedIn, and Instagram.
Have we ever opened without energy?
Never. Never. I think there's one thing guaranteed on the At Home with Roby show. You're going to get some energy. It's going to get exciting.
I was talking to my buddy earlier, and he said, if we could bottle up the energy into my grandkids, we wouldn't need to do real estate anymore. We'd be super rich. I was like, yeah. I was a real hyper kid, believe it or not. And,
you would sell Red Bull.
Hyper adult.
Yeah. People used to always say, man, how do you have all this energy? Oh, my God. And now I see it through my kids. They're even more hyper than me, Pete.
No, it's hard to believe. That one doesn't fall far from the tree.
I think they call that Red Bull.
I haven't drank any Red Bull today.
I haven't either. And who the other voice, it sounds way more eloquent than we do, is Pete Kidwell. Pete, welcome to the show, sir.
Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
You're doing good. I like your smile. He's all excited. He came real early. We talking junk behind his back. He couldn't say anything. Pete, you a young man.
I am 33.
Yes, sir.
Oh, my goodness.
And the first couple times we met and hung out, I never asked your age. I just assumed you were old like me.
That's because my hair's falling out, so I haven't been to your $15 barber in many years. So
you just get that, yeah.
You went on the bit investing overhead, and then you don't ever have to do it again for a long time.
That's right. I got a nice pair of clippers.
Yep.
Do it myself.
Are they Peanut brand? What brand?
I couldn't even tell you.
Come
the
on,
someone off Amazon.
There you go.
Yeah. You can buy anything on Amazon now.
That's right. It's 6 packages a day every time.
That's
I come home.
I know. It never ceases to amaze me how much we talk about hair on this radio show. It comes up like 3 times a month. Yeah. I mean, that's almost every show. It's crazy.
I mean, I would say that's like 80% of the shows if I'm doing math. We do math in our head, don't we, Pete?
That's right.
Bar napkin math.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Pete, thank you for being here. Where are you from?
I'm originally from Warrenton, Virginia, which is a small town that today is probably considered a suburb of D.C., but when I was growing up, it was a little bit more rural. So it's part of that area that's getting caught up in the sprawl. But I grew up on 14 acres. You know, neighbors had horses and pigs.
Oh,
neat. And, you know, some of my land that my family owned was wooded and some wasn't. So grew up kind of on a farming rural environment.
Did you have a dirt bike?
I did not. My dad was all against all the ATVs, but a lot of my friends did. So,
well, I didn't ask about an ATV. Yeah. I asked about a dirt bike.
That's right.
Go ahead.
Dang.
I rode a dirt bike a couple times.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. And did your family have a garden?
Nothing really to speak of. No.
Okay. I mean,
we had tomatoes, but nothing outside of that.
Got it.
Yeah. There you go.
Reagan likes a good tomato.
Yeah, we I'll have to bring you some tomatoes. We got a little tomato garden at the home. Deals with.
If we had a tomato bush, I think Knox be peeing on it. I don't know.
Yeah, one of those hyper kids, right?
Can he not pee
on this
my
dude
bush?
I gotta say, this dude's three, and we were sitting on the deck in the mountains in Gatlinburg, and he comes out of the house to pee off the deck. Like, golly, he's raising him right. I was proud. That was a proud dad moment. I even think Reagan was proud of that. I mean, he can't make it all the way to the outhouse. All right, so you grew up in Virginia, and then what? Keep going.
Yes, I grew up in Virginia. ended up going to Davidson College.
There you go.
Did you play football?
Yes, that's a rhetorical question. I think you knew the answer to that.
I had that in my bag.
All right, that's cool. What position did you play?
I played safety, mainly strong safety, but came in originally as a free safety. So
were you fast?
Years. No. That was kind of the thing that held me back from taking the next step.
But you could lay the lumber on somebody, huh?
That was more of my job description. I weighed 235 my senior year, so I was a bigger safety.
Yeah,
was better at, you know, hitting the pulling guard, pulling tackle, fullback. So
you probably 180 now, 185?
I'm still tipping over 220.
Oh, goodness gracious, you strong.
He's got some pipes.
He is. Look at him. He's looking good. That's a compliment, a big compliment. You said your best friend went to Davidson and played football. You kind of went together as a package deal. Is that you that said that?
No.
That
wasn't
me.
That was another Davidson football guy.
Yeah. It was. Yeah, you might know him. I got to remember who it is.
Small world.
So you go to Davidson to play football, and you stay around town?
Yeah, so, I mean, that was not originally the intention. I thought I'd go back to the D.C. area. My entire family still lives in Virginia. But it was easy to come down to Charlotte and interview when I was a student there. So, as it happens, a guy that's still is at Beacon today, now one of my partners, I started talking to him when I was a sophomore there. And he was just helping me with my resume, helping getting me connected with different industry professionals. And Davidson's a liberal arts school, so you don't go there to become an engineer.
Yeah.
You kind of go there, and I get more confused. Every year I took more classes. But I said, hey, I want to talk to somebody that's in management consulting. He put me in contact with him, somebody that's in investment banking, somebody that's in construction, and he just always knew people. And I was like, how do you have this wide array? Like, how's your Rolodex so deep? And he said, well, everybody needs real estate, so just being in the business for a while.
More people you know.
Yeah. So in 2012, when I graduated, Beacon had purchased a large portfolio that afforded another position internally. And at that time, it was still kind of coming out of the Great Recession, so not a lot of people were hiring, especially in the real estate business. People were still leaving.
Yeah, yeah.
So I got very fortunate that there was an opportunity to work directly for an owner and developer right out of my career with having no real estate experience.
Wow. What did you study at Davidson?
Economics.
I'm an economics major from another liberal arts school called UNC Chapel Hill.
Okay.
They didn't have real estate classes up there, but I did like economics. I was more of a micro guy, but now it's more macro, right?
Yeah, you're a big picture guy.
With what we live with.
That's right.
I'm a visionary.
Visionary. Yeah.
And Beacon was founded, one of the main principals is Ed Whisaker.
Ed Whisaker and Pete Lash founded
Pete
the company
Lash.
In 1989. So they've been running it for about 33 years. Ed is more of a silent partner role, kind of comes in once a quarter.
Yep.
Talks about strategy, but not necessarily involved in the day-to-day operations, but highly impactful in terms of our vision and strategy.
I think that's wonderful. And my brother's son played baseball. I think they won the World Series, the Dixie Youth World Series, Pete's son and my brother's son together.
Okay, I did not know
which
that.
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
So, and that's something people don't know about Charlotte. That was about 4 or 5 years ago. Ask Pete about that.
Yeah, John, his son, he's a player.
My brother said he was a player.
He's a player.
That's good. So, that was what? Pete, I want to reiterate something. People think when you talk about doing some real estate deal in 12, 13, or 14, like if you got a good deal, it was amazing. That was, I was telling somebody the other day, late 13 was the pinnacle of the bottom. You know, you were talking about people in 12 were still leaving the industry.
Yeah, so when people talk to me about how I got started in my career, I got really fortunate because a lot of people left the industry. 08 happened.
Yeah.
So 08, 09, 10, 11, people are bleeding and leaving the industry. So in terms of people that had 3, 4, 5 years of experience that would have been kind of ahead of me, I was able to jump right in and not have those people.
You didn't know any different. I mean, it's what you came into. I mean, that's the environment. The environment was the environment. I mean, it's just the way it was. And so you pretty much rode it all the way up and out.
Yep. And so, you know, speaking to, you know, when was the bottom, when I kind of came in, everything has always been kind of going up. So people talk about the Great Recession, and I don't really, you know, I was in college studying.
A whippersnapper.
Whippersnapper. so I don't have that relative nature when people talk about it. And during those years, you know, a lot of the people that have been in the industry for several cycles used to talk about the time frame from 14 to 18 is like a baseball game. What inning are we in? And everybody was always scared about, hey, when is the next blip going to happen? And if we operated under the guidance of it being a 9-inning baseball game, I mean, nobody would never have done.
No, you're right.
I mean, it was a very long, great run until COVID happened, and there's been some disruption, but things are still good right now.
And where we're at, still good. The Southeast.
Southeast is great. You know, there's an article that came out, I think in Bloomberg, maybe about a month ago, about the GDP of the Southeast relative to the Northeast, and they included Texas as in the Southeast.
Yeah.
And this is the first time since this stat has been recorded that the GDP for the Southeast is higher than the Northeast.
Wow,
I did not
and
know that.
Net new jobs since COVID started, 2/3 have located the Southeast versus the Northeast. So. It's a good place to be. I don't really care, you know, what industry you're in, but if you're living here, if you're a homeowner here, if you're a worker, employee, employer, I think you're in a good spot.
I agree. I want to. Now we got the backdrop. We're gonna go pay some bills. When we come back, I want to dive into the current cycle we think we're in, where we're at, and what you focus on a day to day basis. But I do think the jet stream, if you follow weather, is bringing all that opportunity to the Southeast. You're listening to At Home with Roby.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services on Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. If you missed the last couple of segments, go back, check us out. You can get us on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, or just Google At Home with Roby.
I gotta say, I talked to my mother-in-law yesterday. She was talking about last week's show, Kobe Smith show, said it was a great show. My wife's brother's last name's Van Shore, James Van Shore, down in LaGrange, Georgia. Give him a shout out.
There you go, Dairy Queen.
Dairy Queen. That's guy. I had a brain mistake for a second, so I wanted to come back. That's for you, GG.
That'll happen.
Call me out again.
That's what we call. That's what we call my mom's.
My
GG.
Brain gas. Leave it alone.
I don't. Okay.
I don't want to get too racy on the radio.
Yeah, I know. Be
watch
careful.
Your mouth on here.
Be careful.
WBT family friendly.
Gigi will come get you.
That's it.
Yeah, that ain't good. We got Pete Kidwell, Trent. You guys were talking a little bit about real estate, the current environment that we're in on a commercial real estate standpoint.
Yeah.
And you mentioned something about the jet stream. I thought you were talking about a nor'easter at first, but turns out you were talking about the economy.
Yeah, I'm talking about how it picks up all that opportunity and that money and stuff and brings it down, drops it off right before it hits the ocean.
I like it.
What I'm talking
about. You got to catch it before it gets in that water.
You got to cast a big net. Know what you're doing. It's like the dream maker.
That's it. The dream
catcher. The dream catcher.
The dream catcher, yeah.
Dave McGuire, my roommate, freshman year, our COO, he had a dream catcher hanging over his bed. I never caught a daggone dream.
Did he really? he and Pete had the same haircut.
They do. And Pete, just so you know, I used to lay in bed and look at his head of hair and dream in envy about his head of hair.
He might tackle one of us.
And the dream maker failed him. Yeah. I think it worked for me. It's like, please let me beat this guy in the head department. Dave. No, I'm joking, Dave. Never would talk junk about my homie. So what do you focus on at Beacon?
So my primary responsibilities for us are new investments in our industrial platform, generally in the Charlotte market. I do cover Greenville Spartanburg for us, but as of late we've
you
been.
You do?
I do, but it's a little bit overbuilt down there right now. So Charlotte has been my primary focus.
Really?
Yeah.
What is the net that Beacon casts regionally?
We are two offices. We're in Charlotte and Raleigh. We opened up a Raleigh office about 2.5 years ago now, but we have investments in the Carolinas.
We've
done deals in Greensboro, Charleston, Greenville, Spartanburg, Raleigh, and Charlotte.
Well, for the audience, just to kind of clarify what you mean by industrial, like what type of buildings are you talking about? Distribution warehouses mainly?
Mainly distribution warehouses. We do have some manufacturing buildings. We do have some industrial outside storage, which is kind of a big buzzword in the space right now, which is a company that does some service work. They got a fleet of vans. They do some maintenance on those vehicles. They've got equipment they need to load them in. So they got a big outside storage yard, and they've got a small building they use for maintenance and office.
Yep. Perfect.
Yep.
Yeah. So when I was growing up, I thought of industrial as industrial, making stuff, machines, and people
smokestacks.
The Springs Industries and the Far Yarns and stuff like that. And it seems like the evolution of the economy going to online shopping and stuff like that. And now it's a lot of distribution centers is what we know as industrial.
That's right. Yep. So the supply chain, the way the network works, I mean, there's some kind of manufacturing component to whatever the end product is. And if it's a consumer good or even, something that's built for a business, that's going to get manufactured somewhere and then needs to go into a big warehouse and then generally a small warehouse to get to the end user or end customer. So the way the network's built out is different for every customer, and it depends on how quickly the inventory needs to get to the end customer and the geography that they're kind of catering to. So each logistics company has a different strategy, so you need to cater a little bit to understand where your market is for those strategies.
So what's your outlook on the Charlotte market?
The Charlotte market is great in terms of anything that's infill right now. I think that there was a couple deals that happened during this cycle that were bigger box deals, we like to refer to, maybe something 500,000 square feet or over. And again, to the everyday consumer or person, that looks like a massive building. I mean, these buildings are 10, 20 acres under roof. They're very large.
Yeah.
In Atlanta, there's probably 30 to 35 of them that are vacant right now. In Charlotte, there are probably 5 or 6 that are under construction or being completed. We haven't had as much lease up in that space as we would have liked to have seen as a market. But all the smaller bread and butter deals that are probably 20 to 200,000 square feet, those are performing really, really well. So the geographic expanse of our industrial market, last cycle would have really just been Mecklenburg County, the top end of York County on the north side,
yeah,
and maybe a little bit into Cabarrus County to the northeast, and that has expanded into Gaston, Iredell, York, even Chester a little bit, and all the way up to Rowan, up 85. So we're growing just as you'd see the residential experience from people developing, single-family homes and townhomes.
So what's a bigger driver on industrial warehousing, distribution centers, manufacturing, even growth? Is it road transportation being 85, 77, these interstates, or is it our rail yard is a very valuable asset for Douglas Airport, or is it the airport?
I'd say that number one is definitely going to be the road infrastructure. So in terms of people trying to figure out what their transportation costs is, that is if you look at the total expenses for any of our customers or tenants, they're looking at rent as a very small portion of what they do, but their transportation costs are generally immense. And then they're also looking to be able to cater to a wide network for their employees. So if you're 6 or 7 miles inland from an interstate and that takes 15 minutes to get to because you have a bunch of traffic lights, the way that you're going to be able to recruit to bring people to your operation is vastly different than if somebody is a mile away from the interstate. You can reach a lot larger area. People might be willing to drive 20 minutes to work or 25 minutes to work, but once they hit that 30 minutes, they're saying, hey, I'm out, I'm going to go look for a different job opportunity. So the access to the road network, mainly interstates, is probably number one and two and three in the list.
Wow. So what ports drive product to Charlotte?
I'd say the port business is probably most focused around the Charleston and Greenville Spartanburg markets. The port, the inland port or the rail yard at the airport, there's not as much distribution that's centered around that in our market. I mean, that's really a transload operation where it's really getting from one rail spur that's owned by the rail yard and onto another spur. So, you know, a train's coming in from one port. They've got seven different, you know, and places they're going to. So they're basically mixing and matching and putting it back on rail, and it's going out. What's happening in the Inland Empire in Greenville, Spartanburg, is that they're actually taking that product off and putting them into 45-footers. You know,
yeah, tractor trailers.
Exactly. So it's a little bit different business, even though it looks similar from the outside.
Man, I never knew that. Yeah. That's what do you think about
good.
That, Patrick?
Yeah. Very good, yeah.
So, and the airport, that's how our airport works, like the rail yard. I mean, you bring a plane from one spot, and then people go 20 different directions out of Charlotte, yeah, which is why we're such a strong, American Airlines hub, right?
That's right, that's right. That's a big driver for overall industry in the Carolinas. I've heard as high as 5% of the GDP for North Carolina, they put that on us having American Airlines and Charlotte Douglas.
Wow.
Well, we speak a lot about how my dad really liked Jerry Orr when I was growing up. What about the cargo through the airport? Do you know much about that?
You know, I'd say that is not a huge driver necessarily for our business, but for somebody like Siemens, who's going to own their operation and they're in the industrial space, that, you know, there's ripple effects within our industry. If Siemens is here, we need to have suppliers and customers that are close. But for specifically our customers using the airport, we don't have as much of it. Some of the things that are close to the airport, UPS, I mean, they've got some cargo freight that's going to be taken over the air, but we don't see it as much through some of
the. So who is your typical customer? Dive into that a little bit.
Yeah, so I'll just pick out a business park that we have right now. So we're in the process of hopefully releasing two buildings down to Carolina Logistics Park. It's down in Pineville. So we did a million square foot build-a-suit with Amazon there. We did 230,000 square feet for Empire Distributors, their beverage distribution, mm-hmm. mainly alcohol, wine, not as much spirits here locally. Then we've got Carolina Foods, so they're currently on West Boulevard right now.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. And so they're moving their bakery, commercial bakery, essentially, down to our park. We've got a number of groups that are kind of in the electrical supply and flooring supply space. We've got a group that does some high-end, I'd say, fabrication with furnaces. And Snyder's Lance is another customer for us down there.
Cool. So. Yeah, I heard that land on West Boulevard over there at South Tryon's pretty pricey these days. Good, might be a better return on your investment if you can take that down to Pineville, right?
Man, but
that's right.
That's what I heard. And here comes Beacon. We'll save the day. And come on, we got some housing for you.
I'm going to miss that smell coming off that intersection, though. It always smells good.
I don't know. Them breweries smell good, too. Hey, Pete, we don't have an agenda for this last segment. Will you stick around with us for
a few
minutes?
Yes, sir, absolutely.
All right, you're listening to Pete Kidwell dropping knowledge, talking about Beacon Partners on the At Home with Roby show.
Welcome back to At Home with Roby. I'm Patrick McIsaac from Roby Commercial and Services. I'm Trent Haston from the Roby family of companies. We are your hosts. This has been a great show, man.
It is. Yep. I think we're on a roll.
Lots of energy.
I think TJ was going to keep playing that all through the segment, which would have been a good background. Let's do a whole segment with the faint background music.
Was that the Hawaiian Christmas song? Was that what he's playing there?
I don't know. He's probably going to play it again.
Miliki Biki Mok.
Just some Western Swing.
Oh, Western Swing. I thought it was Hawaiian.
Goodness gracious. You thought you were listening to talk radio, but we trapped you on music. Patrick's dancing. Oh, my gosh. Where is that woman that used to film us? Nah, Sarah Strauss. Just kidding.
Yeah.
She was like, we're going to start filming. And then after like 2 weeks, she's like, oh, we're not stop filming. I'm like, I don't know what. Y'all got me on edge. I dressed up. I'm still dressing up. I thought we had a 50-50 chance of being filmed today because Pete was going to be here.
We're better radio hosts than TV personalities. Yeah,
especially with this haircut I got. we call it a highbrow.
Yeah, she's doing you a favor, bro.
Goodness gracious. Hey Pete, the brand's Gillette. So we still got Pete sitting here. He doesn't know what to do. So, Pete, tell us a little bit about your family.
So I just had twins 4 months ago.
Congrats, man. That's great.
Yeah, thank you. Twin boys. They're fraternal. Then I've got a 20-month-old son and then a 3.5-year-old daughter. So.
Ooh. So he's one down. He's got one. I think if he drops another set of twins, he'll pass me.
Yeah, I think we're done. I think we've agreed.
And you're 33. I was still having them at 42.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
And you're done?
We're done, yeah.
Wow.
We're excited.
Good. God bless you.
Yeah, thank you.
You hadn't been able to – I've asked you a couple of times to go on a golf trip with me. You said, hey, look, dude, can I have my twins?
Yeah.
Get through the summer?
He's in the throes, yeah.
So I think your time's up, buddy.
Time's up. All right. Send the ask out.
So how are your twins doing?
They're great. They started sleeping through the night about 2 weeks ago.
Oh, man, that's wonderful.
So that's big time. And they're starting to, you know –
That's
understand
why you
the
smile
outside
so
world.
Much.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's great.
Getting
man.
Some sleep, yeah.
So what does fraternal mean? They have the same dad? I mean, fatherly, fraternal.
They're lambda guys.
Fraternal, they are not identical.
Yeah. Oh, not
yep,
identical.
Yeah.
So one will be bald and one will have a stout head of hair. Do you know which one?
Not yet. Both of them are bald right now. Ironically, my other son has an incredible head of hair. Yeah.
Well, good.
That's so, yeah, if you know any good barbers, send them my way.
I kind of will. For Reese, was $15. He ain't around anymore.
Yeah. And then Ron.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then I asked Ford. So, Reese, older fella, and then Ron, older fella. And then we're looking for a new barber. I said, Ford, my son was about 6. I said, well, you want to go... We went and tried Ballard's, which I'm talking about, younger group of barbers, kind of old in style. And I said, after that, I said, you want to go try to find another old barber? You want to go with these young guys again? He said, Dad, I think we can go with the young guys for a while. I said, dang, boy, that's pretty good. Well, God bless you and your family.
Yeah, thank you very
that's
much.
That's wonderful.
I appreciate it. We're
man, got his hands full. How many diapers do you change percentage-wise?
Between Carson, my wife, and I?
Mm-hmm.
I probably, on the weekends, I'm going to do a little bit more, probably over 50%. But during the week, I mean, she crushes it.
Yeah,
and we
it.
Go through 25 to 30 diapers a day right now.
Oh, my goodness.
It's a big business.
It is a big business.
Yeah. So you have
the
three.
The Amazon boxes that come to my house.
Do you have three? Do you have three in diapers?
Three in diapers.
You should be going the green route and using cloth.
Yeah, that's right.
I'm disappointed.
I'll send the laundry over to your house.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. That'll be a big bag.
Yeah. Reagan is going to slap me when I walk in, which you won't have heard the show yet, but maybe Sunday after church she'll slap me.
You got a few days to prepare for it.
We'll see. I don't know. I'm going to be gone Sunday.
Oh.
Take that, baby.
Yeah.
Well, I want to be serious for a second. We're talking about the new life. Over here, Pete and his growing family, God bless you. That's wonderful. We caught news this morning. Our dear friend, one of my very, very, very best friends in the world, Reed Harkey Towel and Stone, mm-hmm. the Renfro Towel and Marble family, went to heaven this morning. So I'd like to take a moment of silence for Reed and his family. God bless you, old buddy. We've been doing this show for about 8.5 years now, and I think Reed has been on this show 4 or 5 times.
Yeah, I mean,
he
was one of the probably initial guests, huh?
Especially when we were trying to talk about all the trends in custom home remodels and renovations and new houses, which early on that's what less about just general business and stuff, more about that. And he was an expert in that growing up, generational family business guy, third generation like myself.
Yeah, I mean, obviously deeply connected to the community through NARI and various other things, but just a wonderful guy. I think he said it earlier. I mean, he just had such a positive outlook on everything, and he believed in people. He believed in the industry. I mean, just we lost a legend. I mean, really
And a fighter. I mean
– yeah.
I was talking to Lenny over there who runs her business now at Harkey and does a tremendous amount with us, and all our guys love him and know him, which is a testament to Reed and his brother Jeff.
Yeah, yeah.
Who Jeff's still here. God bless you, Jeff. But I was talking about how great of a man Reed was. This is months ago. He's talking about how much of a fighter he was. So say a prayer and hug those that you love. Yeah. Don't take them for granted. And go do the golden rule today. Treat others the way you want to be treated. Carry a smile around on your face. Thank you for being here, Pete Kidwell, and look Beacon up. They're a strong Charlotte representative. Thanks for listening to At Home with Roby.
Whether it's audiobooks or all-time greatest hits, long live listening to your favorites. Learn more about Kisqali Ribociclib 200 milligrams at KISQALI.com and talk to your doctor to see if Kisqali is right for you.